So that was an extremely professional hour of sports talk radio, was it not? Hosted expertly by yours truly, and interviews with Frank Gore and David Shaw. Coming up later on this hour, Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. 1-800-636-8686. Man, that clock cannot spin quickly enough. Not because I don't want to do the show, because I do. I'm having a great day, having a great time, loving every minute of it. But tonight, you have got Bears-Packers at Chicago. Who you got and why? I want to get into it a little bit longer or a little bit more. This email reads, Dear Jim, you're right. Tonight is a coin flip. So we're going to need you to announce Trevor Price's pick so that we can go the other way. Thanks. Signed, Wise Guys. Brett from Bugahaw. War fading Price being such a profitable venture that Ben Mezrich's follow-up to Bitcoin billionaires will be called Trevor's Trillionaires. It might be a profitable venture, but it's not that profitable. But it was profitable. I mean, he did miss like 7 weeks in a row, 7 picks in a row. I mean, you know how hard that is to do? If you flip a coin, you're not going to be wrong 7 times in a row. Not only that, he played in the NFL at a really high level for a really long time, and he's a really intellectual guy. He's an extremely cerebral guy. It just goes to show how hard picking games are. That the guy played in the NFL as long as he did, at as high a level as he did, is as smart as he is, and he missed 7 games in a row. He picked 1 game a week. And you're not going to let him forget it, are you? Rex in the ABQ. Well, good news is, he's tweeting. That means he's not calling. Jimmy, I was wondering if Brandel Chambly will be the sideline reporter for the NFL game tonight. Signed, Joel Klatt. And once again, I don't know why you're singling out Joel Klatt. Very, very professional broadcaster. Very professional. And that network likes to use a variety of guys in a variety of roles. The business is changing. Maybe you get used to it. Teeb76 tweets, we are pumped in Green Bay. Can't wait to kick the Bears in the damn teeth. Keep hearing Bears fan saying Super Bowl. How the hell would they know what a Super Bowl team looks like? And Mr. Toxic tweets, Pimp, it's a lock with all the Rome family karma in Wisco. War Jake ditching his third day of college to go to the Packers game with his new college drinking buddies. Yeah, I hope that's not going to happen. Of course, that could happen. The kid has not been that easy to run down since we left him in Madison. We've tried. 1-800-636-8686. All right, really quickly, the news of the hour. I mentioned in hour number one that Adam Schefter tweeted, quote, the next chapter, Antonio Brown and GM Mike Mayock got into it Wednesday. The team is now planning to suspend its star wide receiver, league sources told ESPN. Shocking. Least surprising thing ever. Yeah, I'm just going to say it. Man, I am so sick of that whole thing. Sick of it. Sick of him. You know, like, I don't want to ever get personal or say things like that. But honestly, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of him. You know, if you're looking for some great insight, there isn't any. There's nothing new to say. There's nothing else to say other than this is not surprising. Going back to my point that we don't really know any of these guys. So if your point to me is, wait a minute now. Back up, Rome. Weren't you the guy who loved Antonio Brown? Weren't you the guy who used to put him on the show? Weren't you the guy who was always hyping him? Weren't you the guy saying, this is an Antonio Brown house? Yes. Yes. Guilty as charged. 100%. So either I didn't know this guy because we don't really know these guys, or this guy changed along the way, or this is who this guy was, and he did a really good job of hiding it for a long time. At least until the past year or so. Now, by the time the Raiders got around to it, the Raiders knew exactly who this guy was. The Raiders knew exactly who and what they were getting. He made it very clear during last season, and especially at the end of last season, who he was and who he could still be, and the Raiders still went all in. Still made that deal, still guaranteed him big money. So this is not only not surprising, it's really not interesting. It's really not exciting. In fact, it's boring, it's predictable, and worst of all, it's just not interesting. And I'm tired of it. Could not care any less at it. You know, unfair to compare guys, but you have a guy like Frank Gore on this program. And I would have said this about Antonio Brown. Like, Antonio Brown's a different cat with a different personality, wired differently. He's got some of that wide receiver diva in him. But man, this guy was wired to work now. He was a worker, a grinder. Everybody talked about Antonio Brown and how he lifted everybody up around him because of the way he went about his work every single day. I don't know. I'm just talking about professional players, professional ballers. Antonio Brown was that for a long, long time. You don't play as long as he has in the league and put up the numbers he has without being professional and dedicated to your craft and dedicated to the grind. I'm just looking at a guy like Frank Gore and the way he's carrying himself. And again, different guys, I get that. But Antonio Brown is getting into a fight with the GM and getting suspended right before the season starts when they're counting on this guy? What's less professional? Fighting with the GM. And over what? Fines, because you weren't there. And totally uninteresting. 1-800-636-8686. And Trevor Price is still a thing a year later. Hey, Rome, don't forget about his burp. Yeah, I haven't. Dan, in Columbus, I haven't.
You know, play some, you know, safe things, but at least the Texans let Deshaun... Ooh, excuse me, you got to do that again.
Or at least never do that ever again.
At least the Texans.
Texans minus four. That's part of our podcast. You know, I don't know. I hear that and I kind of want to find my man, Trevor. You hear that? This guy right in the middle of a response belches and then says, do that again, Alvin.
You know, play some, you know, safe things, but at least the Texans... Let Deshaun, ooh, excuse me, you got to do that again.
Or at least never do that ever again.
At least the Texans.
Trevor's the best. All right, I'm looking for your telephone calls. I've got Dabo Swinney coming up a little bit later on. All right, so let's talk about Cam Newton for a minute. And the reason I bring this up, there is some good news for the Panthers and some bad news for many of you losers. Notice I didn't say all of you losers, because many of you are amazing. Some of you are losers. You know who you are. And if you don't, you're about to find out. All right, now that I got that out of the way, let's start with the good news. Cam Newton is not on the injury report ahead of Sunday's opener against the Rams. Again, there is a difference between not being injured and actually feeling good. Newton says it's the latter, and that he feels great.
You know, I feel like a rookie again. You know what I'm saying? I'm having fun, feeling good, and the thrill is still there, man.
All right, that's great news. Great news for the former MVP, especially given that he suffered a sprained left foot in the preseason, and he's coming off shoulder surgery. And even more so when you see Andrew Luck retiring. Why do I mention that? Because Newton is right there with Luck when it comes to taking an absolute beating every time he steps on the field. And if the Panthers organization did not freak out when they saw Andrew Luck retire, then they should have. Because like Luck, Newton is big and he's tough and he takes so many hits and he keeps getting right back up. You almost start to think the guy's indestructible, but he's not. None of them are. He's human. He's tough as hell. He's strong as hell. But there's only so much abuse a quarterback can take. Even the biggest, baddest, toughest, most durable quarterbacks are going to break down at some point if you do not protect them. You saw that last year when he battled through that shoulder injury before shutting it down finally. When he couldn't throw deep, the Panthers were not the same offense. They were not the same team. because he was not the same guy. And he wasn't the same guy because he was getting the hell beat out of him. Remember, they were 6-2 before his arm nearly fell off, and then the wheels came off. Then their season fell apart. But as proof of this guy's toughness, not that you should ever need any after watching him take all the hits he's taken over the years, but as proof of this guy's toughness, he just kept right on playing. Even though his shoulder wasn't right, even though he couldn't throw the ball deep. But now after surgery in January, he's had an offseason to recover. He says he's good to go. And he says the reason he's good to go is in part because of his newly discovered plant-powered approach.
Vegan. Vegan strong. You know what I'm saying? That helps a lot. I've been vegan all year. And I don't think I'm going back. Feel good. I recover well. And that's what it's pretty much all about. Not putting certain things in your body that is going to combat your body trying to recover. You know, obviously the human body cures itself, but you want to put things in your body that helps expedite that whole process.
Again, I'm not the guy who's sitting here on a soapbox. I'm not trying to convince you to eat a certain way or live your life a certain way. I'm just saying, as somebody who doesn't live like that, I mean, I try to make pretty good choices. And by the way, as an example, I made some horrific choices last night. I know exactly what this guy's talking about. The body does heal itself, but you're combating. You're pushing back against recovery when you put crap into it. How do I know? I did so like 4 hours ago. Anyway, I'm not here to say the plant-based way is the right way. I'm saying that I'm talking to more and more athletes who swear by it, and at least intellectually, in terms of somebody who's curious, I find it really interesting. And he just said he's doing it, and he feels great. He doesn't think he's going to go back, and it does help recovery. So there you go. He's feeling good, he's eating good, and he's ready for the season to start. Clean, burning fuel. So it's all good, right? You're probably thinking to yourself, so where's the bad news? It's all good. There is no bad news, right? There is some bad news. A couple of bad notes, actually. Because some of you dopes are going to be really angry about what he had to say. I know that some of you really feel threatened when people start talking about eating clean or committing to a plant-powered life. Put that aside for a minute. I don't care about that. I mean, eat whatever the hell you want. I'm not taking food off your plate. I'm not taking food out of your hand before it goes in your mouth. I don't give a damn what you eat. Eat what you want. Just because he's vegan doesn't mean that he doesn't have a beef or he's lost his edge. He has beef. Not only does he have beef, he has beef with his teammates. Specifically, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuels, his three offensive weapons. They've got a nickname, and he's not feeling it. In fact, not only is he not feeling it, he feels excluded from it.
They got this thing right now where they are part of the Rat Pack, Cat Pack, whatever it is. And I was thinking they need like a lead singer, you know, like kind of like the Temptations. David Ruffin was in the Temptations, but it was David Ruffin in the Temptations. So I was saying that y'all can add me to it, you know what I'm saying, Ace Boogie and the Cat Pack. If they want to sell records, if they want to get noticed, you know, just holler at your boy. You feel me? I don't know who was responsible for it, but I don't like it. They need to implement me some type of way.
All right, did you catch the first part of that? Right there in the first sentence of that quote. And I want to illuminate this because I think a bunch of you probably lost your minds as soon as you heard that first word. You heard one word. You started running around the room acting like, I don't know, the cool substitute had just wheeled in a TV and VCR. Let me read the first sentence back to you, and this time, listen with your ears open. Hear the entire sentence before you trip. Quote, they've got this thing right now where they're a part of the Rat Pack. Cat Pack, whatever it is. End quote. Did you hear that? I want to be very clear about this. Cam Newton did not announce that the Rat Family is back. Because the Rat Family's never coming back. In fact, Cam Newton did not mention the Rat Family. Cam probably doesn't even know about the Rat Family. Cam is probably Never, ever. He probably never has even given a thought to what Zane Smith, Gary Gaetti, Emerson Fittipaldi, what they all have in common. And why would he? He's Cam Newton, professional football player. He's an NFL MVP. He's a very busy man. He's not sitting around wondering why Greg Gagne looks like he does. And if he ever even thought about Jeff Hostetler, it's probably just to watch tape on how he attacked the defense and not whether or not he likes to gnaw on cheese. Get it through your heads. The other thing is, he didn't even refer to the Rat family. He called the trio of weapons the Rat Pack, which is a completely different nickname. It's not even their nickname in the first place. Those three guys have been referred to as the Cat Pack, not the Rat Pack. The Cat Pack. Get it? As in Panthers? Cat Pack. So keep on moving. There's nothing to see here. The story here is that Cam Newton is healthy. He's eating clean. He's feeling good. The story is that Cam Newton is back. Not that the Rat family is back. Because the Rat family's not back. It's never, ever coming back. Believe me, if I could have it scrubbed from the internet, I would. We all do things when we're younger that we regret. Myself included. I will own it. I did. I have. I still do. I mean, I really regret that. You know what I regret? This is not one of those fake apologies. I'm sorry I did it. And I do regret it. I regret that I would sit around for hours on end looking for athletes and coaches who look like rats so I could put them into their own family. You see, unfortunately for me, I was younger, not as mature. Man, that game was fun as hell. And you know what else? It was easy as hell. Because lots of people take on certain rat-like tendencies. The beady eyes, the rat-like whiskers, the proclivity for cheddar. But that was then, this is now, and that was a regrettable time and a regrettable decision on my part. I own it, and I'm doing everything I can to make sure that that family has been laid to rest. So for the last time, you should do the same. Nothing to see here, especially the rats. Just a healthy Cam Newton, eating clean, and slinging it around the joint. This is what I'm focused on. Just that. Not humans resembling rats, nibbling, showing their teeth, and hustling frantically from point A to point B. If that's your focus, you've got the wrong show and the wrong host.
The Rat Pack?
I hope I've made myself clear. Once and for all. And for all of eternity. It's a catchy tune. I'll give you that. And they spell rat with two T's.
It's two for me.
The Rat Pack?
Dabo Sweeney's coming up. A little bit later on, stay tuned. Episode 94 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Jordan Palmer. He was in studio yesterday. I want to reset that too because there's a good chance he talked about your favorite quarterback. Better sleep can benefit basically anybody at all, which is why Casper created Sleptember. You heard that right, Sleptember, an entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation. From outrageously comfortable award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep, and with their extended Labor Day sale, you can save on the mattress of your dreams, and you can sleep better in Sleptember. My Casper mattress gives you the perfect balance of comfort and support, and it does so for me while I sleep because it has four layers of premium foam. That relieves pressure, and it keeps my back aligned, and Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. Rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Take full advantage of Sleptember with 10% off any purchase with a mattress today at Casper.com now through September 9th. That's Casper.com. Save 10% on any purchase, which includes a mattress. Terms and conditions may apply. See Casper.com/terms. Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. We'll be right back.
Now, there's some days where I've got to do some extremely heavy lifting just because. And not the kind of heavy lifting like, I mean, I am still hosting a sports talk radio program, so how much heavy lifting can there be? Let's just say there's some days where I have to do more heavy lifting, and then there's some days where I just stay the hell out of the way. Today is one of those days. I had Frank Gore. I had David Shaw. They both came in, and they both killed it. I've got Dabo Swinney coming up next segment. Safe to assume I'm not going to have to do very much at all with Dabo. You just stay out of Dabo's way. Because Dabo's got takes and anecdotes and energy for days. And I look forward to that conversation every single year. That's coming up in about 15. Sunday, the NFL on CBS schedule kicks off with two of the most dynamic QBs in the game. Love them both. Baker Mayfield, America's quarterback. Patrick Mahomes. They make their highly anticipated 2019 debuts. Check local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with the NFL Today on CBS. So, are the Pats the team to beat until somebody takes them down? Or is it the Chiefs? Or is it somebody coming out of the NFC? I think that we're going to get, it's only one game, and it's only week one, but I think we're going to get a really good look at a couple of contenders, legitimate contenders tonight in Green Bay and Chicago. Do you like the Packers on the road? Tough to say exactly what we're going to get offensively from them because we haven't seen anything from them in the preseason. But we're going to find out soon enough. All right, really quickly, there's this thread that's been running through the program the last week or so. Thread being this. We had a call from Milwaukee. David from Milwaukee came on the program. And David from Milwaukee said, you know, I was in prison for 23 years. And I listened to you, Rome, on the inside. And I turned a lot of guys onto the program. And you helped me get through a lot of tough times. And then I got out. And now I've got a son. I think he said a son. Young child, though, for sure. And a job. And he's in sales. And he's the company's top salesman. And it's great. And he's out. And he feels good. And I thought that was a good story, a really interesting story. That was somebody who rehabilitated himself, made some really bad decisions, bad choices, went in, did his time, got out, and is living a very productive life. Trapper hears that story and says, man, I got to tell you something. Whatever that guy did at age 16 to be there until he was 39 was some really bad stuff. And he shouldn't be bragging about going to prison. And I played back part of that call, and I'm like, yeah, it didn't sound to me like he was bragging. Anyway, David in Milwaukee is back right now. David, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well, Romy. Thank you for the vine one more time.
You got it.
All right. So, listen to the call from Trapper yesterday. He's a legend. He's entitled to his opinion. I respect and salute him overcoming his obstacles, and I respect and salute his job. But to shed light on me, I'm going to set a little bit of the record straight. Yes, I did get waived as an adult. I did do some bad things. However, no Trapper, nobody was hurt. And no Trapper, nobody was accidentally murdered, I think you said. None of that. What have I done to make amends? Although I don't need to justify myself, I will, because who knows, maybe these people are listening. I took a lot of programs while I was in prison, Trapper. I took advantage of every opportunity I had because I understood at 16, I gave my life away, a couple bad decisions, and they took my life from me. I gave it away. I said, here you go. They had a decision to make just like you did. They made their decision on facts. Yesterday, you didn't make your statement on facts. As a prosecutor, that's part of your job. You judged me with no facts. So I sat, and if you are a prosecutor, you know about these programs. I sat in all my reentry programs. I met with the victims. Face to face. I apologized. They forgave me. They looked at me and said, you seem like a nice young man. Hopefully you can get out and continue to transition. And I did. I didn't come into the jungle for icing. I didn't come into the jungle for pity. I came into the jungle to thank somebody that helped me get through some rough times. You said I bragged. No, you bragged on your career. And let me tell you something, Trapper. I'm in tune with a lot of things. I stayed in touch in life. I know there was a lot of wrongful convictions in California. You were a prosecutor. How you judged me yesterday, if that's how you did your job, are you one of them people that sent somebody to prison that was not guilty? in that place that you bragged about sending people to, I was there. They don't offer everything you think they offer to people. That is not a place to go. It's a place to go to change. They don't offer a lot of change. I sat there day in and day out. I decided to make change in my life. That's why I went to Victim Impact. That's why I got to speak to my victims. That's why I got to make amends. I paid restitution. I was on work release. I was in the community 2 years and had ties with people who will continue to support me today. I have a parole officer who put me on low-risk supervision and is petitioning the state of Wisconsin to get me off of paper because of the changes I made.
David, let me jump in on you. Pick that up real quick. David, I jump in because I've got Dabo Swinney coming up next segment, but I don't make light of what you're saying, and I want to make sure that I gave you enough room for you to make your point, and I think you did, and I think you made your point very well. So that's the reason I jump in right then. So knowing Trapper, he'll probably have a response, and we go round and round. But that does not sound like somebody who is bragging on a stretch in prison. All right, that's David in Milwaukee, and they've got a better sense of where he's coming from. All right, thanks for that. When we come back, and again, I jumped in on him not to be disrespectful, but got to get out. Dabo Swinney has a hard time. And by hard time, I mean he has to be in at a certain time and off at a certain time, and I've got to respect that. That's coming up next. Right now, I've got a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Having a great day. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Great day because, again, we had Buffalo Bills running back Frank Gore in hour number one. We had Stanford head football coach David Shaw in hour number one. And now moving right through hour number two, we are joined by the head football coach at Clemson. He is entering his 11th full season at Clemson. He won National Coach of the Year honors from at least one organization in five of the last 7 years. Led the Tigers to five ACC titles and two national titles last season. Became the first team in the modern era to go 15-0. Number 12, Texas A&M is at top-ranked Clemson on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Dabo Swinney is my guest. Dabo, it's so nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Good, Dabo. Great to have you. So you're coming off that win over Georgia Tech, 52-14 on Thursday night. Travis Etienne turned in a monster game. Dabo, every season is different. So what did you make of how your guys handled business last week?
Well, I was very encouraged because they were ready. There was great energy. The guys were focused, you know, especially when you look at some of the openers across the country and you see a lot of, you know, just kind of first game sloppiness. I thought we played a relatively clean game for a first game, especially I don't know that I've ever been into a game more blind than that one because we really had no tape. And, you know, so we spent our whole prep time studying Temple. And so just preparing for a lot that we thought they might do and a lot of what they could do. But at the end of the day, our guys did a nice job. We had a lot of situational stuff come up. Defensively, we answered the bell after some turnovers and held them to 0 points after turnovers. We got a goal line stop. So there was a lot of positives there. And then offensively, you know, they just kind of came in, I think, with the plan of see if we would run the ball and be patient in between the tackles. And so once we kind of settled in, you know, we rushed for 411, and Travis had an unbelievable day. And it wasn't a big day to throw the ball around, but just a very sound win against an ACC team. And so I was very encouraged, and something that we still made enough mistakes where we could come in and have a lot to teach from and correct and refocus on getting ready for a huge challenge this week.
Dabo Swinney joining us. I was going to say you've got a huge challenge this week in Texas A&M. And one of the things you've talked about in relation to last year's game against A&M is the feeling that there were some missed opportunities on defense and too many times where your DBs had their eyes in the wrong place. So how have you gone about addressing that this week?
Well, that, you know, that's why I like playing these games early because these games will expose you. And whether you win it or you lose it, it helps you get better. For the course of the season. That's just what I believe. And, you know, we were very fortunate to win that game last year. And, you know, we fumbled the ball on the goal line. We're up 21-3, and we fumbled the snap on the one. And next thing you know, they go down and score, and momentum kind of changes. And we got our hands on two or three balls that we don't catch. One of them goes right through our hands, and they catch it for a touchdown at the end of the game there. So there was just, and then we had a lot of busted coverages. And, you know, last year we opened up with Furman, and they ran the option. So that, and we didn't know much about Texas A&M, their first year. And they exposed us because we were young in the secondary, inexperienced, and it showed in that game. They didn't run the ball very well, but they threw all over us. So I think, but what that game did was helped us get better for the course of the season, and we did. And by the end of the year, we were a really, really good group and one of, you know, top defenses in the country. And so that's the way I look at this game. I think we're much improved on the back end. Our back seven, I think, is much better at this point than we were last year. Much more experience, so hopefully that will show. We're not quite as good up front simply because we just don't have those the veterans that we had last year. So the ability to try to see if we can slow them down running the ball will be a key factor in this game. It's going to be exciting, you know. And same thing offensively, going against a really good defense and all the different looks that they give, especially on third down, that's going to help us, you know, grow our team. We have 80 freshmen and sophomores, 40 first-year guys that weren't on the team last year. So this is one of those games early that I think pays huge dividends as you go through the course of the season.
Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney joins us. So offensively, you and I have talked in the past about Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to do as a freshman. So how different is he as a quarterback now versus this time last year or even since the end of last season?
Yeah, night and day. First of all, this game, he only played, I think he had 9 pass attempts maybe. I think Justin Ross played 1 snap, and I think Ethan only had 8 carries. So I'm not sure what we were thinking. But anyway, we found a way to win it. But he's just a smarter, more mature, physically better prepared player than he was at any point last year. He really worked his tail off in the offseason. He's about 220 now. He's much stronger. All his explosive measurables are up. You saw that last week. He made some really average 8 yards a carry. Really did a nice job with his legs. And that's the big thing that we want from him. You know, a couple things. Physically get better. We wanted him to assert himself as the leader. This time last year, he was just trying to go win the job. And now he is the leader and really asserting himself that way in the spring and the offseason. He's doing that. And then just a few things, just complete ownership of the protections. Some footwork things in our run game that he's worked hard on. And then for me in particular, I felt like there were some times last year, and toward the end of the year, he really was better. But there were some times last year where I thought he could have extended some plays with his legs and also made some plays with his legs. You know, 2nd and 10 and you know, make it 3rd and 5 by taking the 5 yards that's there. And then also his ability to make throws on the run when he extends plays and creates and buys some time, he's very dangerous. And I've seen a lot of growth in that. He's just very confident and poised. And so I think you're going to see him have a great year, and just such a humble young man that's got his head on right and is a great leader for this team.
We're talking to Dabo Swinney. I mean, he obviously is incredibly special. And then you look around the country, and there's so many more freshmen that come in and contribute right away. Earlier this week, Dabo, you were talking about how the game has changed since you were playing and really how much life has changed. You had a great quote that I want to read back. Quote, "You didn't just throw the ball a lot in those days, but you didn't have Fortnite. You didn't have all these games and iTunes and social media. You just didn't have that. I mean, what the heck was I going to do when I went home? What was I going to do? I mean, sit there, look at the wall, got 3 channels. You got Lawrence Welk. You got Hee Haw. You got Happy Days. That's what you got." End quote. I remember those days, Dabo, very clearly. Is there any part of you that ever wishes for the days of 3 channels or staring at the wall? Those were very simpler times.
Yeah, and I've always been, you know, less is more kind of a guy. But there's blessings in all the stuff, too. I mean, you know, the technology and things have really improved a lot of quality of life and things. And a lot of it's good. But, I mean, literally, I think the first time I ever had cable TV was 9th and 10th grade in high school. I mean, so you had 3 channels, and I didn't know – don't know what a remote control was. I mean, I was the remote control. My dad would say, go turn the channel. And, you know, so that's just how I grew up. And you played ball. There was nothing else to do. And so the reason the game has changed, it was a long answer to the question, but, you know, these high school coaches had to find a way to survive. There was no year-round baseball, year-round basketball. Heck, I might not have played football if I had year-round basketball in those days. And now you have lacrosse, you have all these different options for kids, not to mention the social media and the temptations and just the busyness that they have every day without doing anything. And so coaches had to change the game. And that's why the emergence of 7-on-7s and you know, getting the best athletes to come back out and play because they were staying on the basketball court. They were staying in on the baseball field because, you know, they didn't want to go out there and you know, do the Oklahoma drill every day or run the option or run the I formation. And so the game changed and evolved, and I think it has came up into colleges, and now the pool that the pros have is what you see in colleges. And so now you see the influence at the NFL level. And so the game has changed. I think it's a safer game for sure. But I think some of these kids that have been like Trevor, who's been starting since the ninth grade and he's been, you know, coached to the nth degree, they're just more prepared to make that transition when they get to college.
I was talking to Jordan Palmer about that very thing on my podcast yesterday. So, Dabble, one quick thought. Because of the success you've had, coaches in every sport have reached out to learn from you. Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat says some of my favorite phone calls are when we get on the horn and talk shop about coaching. You know, in about 90 seconds or so, what are those conversations with him and other coaches like, and what do you take from them?
Well, first of all, I'm always very humbled when somebody reaches out to me, but I'm always blown away that they even know who the heck I am. I love that because they're calling me and they want to ask me my thoughts on certain things, but I can't wait to get their thoughts because I see it as an opportunity to learn. I'm always trying to get better, and I love, you know, I'm a relationship guy, so I love meeting new people. So we talk about, you know, sports are different, but you're dealing with people. You're dealing with leadership and motivation and discipline and expectations and culture. All of those things translate regardless of whether it's sports or business or whatever.
He is the head football coach at Clemson, entering his 11th full season. They've got a big challenge coming up on Saturday. They are top ranked, and they're hosting Texas A&M, who is number 12. Dabo Swinney is my guest. Dabo, speaking of relationships, I always appreciate this one. So good to have you back on the show. Dabo, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Always good to be with you. Take care.
You too. Good luck this weekend. There's nobody like him. Dabo's so good. Like he's so good on so many different levels. But even when I said at the very end, I've got 90 seconds. Can I just hit this? Got in, got out, hit his cue, nailed that post. And so easy to talk to and so interesting. And yeah, I mean, I hate to date me and I hate to date him. I don't know, like, depends on where you grew up. I don't remember there being only three channels. But I do remember exactly what he's saying. Like, he's like, remote control? I didn't know what that was. I was the remote control. My dad said, go change the channel. You know, you had channel 2, you had channel 4, you had channel 5, you had channel 7, you had channel 9, you had 11, you had 13. That's pretty much what you had. And yes, you had Hee Haw. Never want to watch Hee Haw. Had no need for that. Now, Happy Days, that's different, man. I was all about that. As a kid, that Tuesday night block was so awesome. Fonz, Laverne and Shirley, Squiggy, Lenny. That was an awesome block. So it's definitely about Happy Days. Not about Hee Haw. Not about Lawrence Welk. That was more about more of a grandma-grandpa thing. And some thoughts on David from Milwaukee clapping back on Trapper. I've got that for you. I mentioned Jordan Palmer. He actually talked about a lot of things that Dabo talked about. I want to reset that. It's not an overlap, but it's really interesting. Third hour's coming up. Open phones.